Hello and welcome to Comadres y Comics. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Welcome everybody back.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's so funny how... Okay, January lasted 84 years for me, but
what are you talking about? I'm still in December.
But like it's gonna be March.
Yes, really it soon. Is. Right. I always get thrown by the fact that the February is shorter, and it always, every year, like throws me off in some significant way. Like, I had an ongoing recurring bill that I just happened to set up in February, and I'm like, can we do it at the end of the month? And it was February, so it's freaking the 28th every freaking month. So I lost like 2 to 3 days trying to get money to pay a bill because it just happened to be a February that I set it up.
Oh, and my God.
Like, man. Those are the little things that people don't tell you when you become adults.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel that on the spiritual level.
No, me too. I totally feel you on that one. So apologies to everybody out there who has been patiently waiting for a new episode. Henry told me, I'm waiting for your new episode. Here it is. Sorry about that.
Here.
Yeah.
We're finally out here.
Sometimes life happens and we can't get it together. And it's three of us plus our wonderful producer. So it's like we have to coordinate four schedules. And so here we are. Thank God.
We found time.
All right. So we're your hosts. I'm Sarah, in case you forgot.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
All right, ladies, what's going on?
Well, I have seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at least 6 times now.
Wow.
And I'm shameless about this because I love that movie.
It's so good.
It is incredible. And we now know that it's been nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
I think that's so amazing.
Yes. I honestly do. And I honestly, if they don't win, I'm going to...
Burn it down.
I'm going to burn down the Oscars. Like, we are... This is just what it's going to have to be.
I actually am really excited about the fact that there are two huge comic book movies that are nominated for multiple things in the Oscars this year. And I've only seen Into the Spider-Verse twice. I think I've seen Black Panther 3 times, but both movies are just so amazing. And I really hope that they win the Oscar for Best Picture and Best Animated, but also just all the other things that people who have been involved with the movies are being nominated for as well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Wakanda Forever, man. That movie still makes me kind of like weep a little bit. Just, you know.
Yeah, that is incredible. And you know, something that someone pointed out to me a couple days ago, and Kristen, you did, you were there for it too, about how Black Panther should win Best Picture simply because, like, one, it was a very beautifully designed movie, but two, it is the first superhero movie in a long time that I've watched that didn't need me to know the 5 other movies that happened before it.
Yes, that's really a good point.
And the last one that I could say that for sure was Iron Man. It was the first Iron Man movie. The first Iron Man movie can by itself be like outside of the MCU. Before the MCU even started, it's kind of what kicked it off.
Right.
But even then, it in itself as a standalone movie would have been perfectly fine, and that is what Black Panther is as well, and to some degree Into the Spider-Verse as well, because all you needed to know about Spider-Verse is who Spider-Man is,
right?
And who doesn't know what Spider-Man, who Spider-Man is?
Exactly.
He's a dude who dresses like a spider with spider powers, right? that's it. And because what I really liked about Into the Spider-Verse is that it finally did what I had been very upset about. And every time we did a panel and we talked about Latinidad,
we totally heard it.
It was beautiful. It was in everything that Miles did, from the way that he talked, from the way that he dressed, the way he interacted with people. He was oozing Latinidad, and just like, and he's Afro-Latino. Right. And it's just like, oh, it was incredible. I loved it.
One of my favorite parts was when his dad is like, I love you, in front of all his friends. Because that's stuff like my mom did, you know, when and if she dropped us off at school and stuff, or she kicks us in public kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a scene in the movie that it was in the trailer too, when he's trying to leave for school, and his mom is giving him a kiss, and he's just like, I gotta go. He's just like, una vez más.
Yeah.
So, like, I know that feeling. Like, it was like I was slapped back to middle school, and she's giving me a kiss as she's going. I'm just like, I gotta go. Stop. And so, like, it was those small things that I 100% appreciated about the movie, and that I had been like, you don't see it in the comics. And another thing that I really liked is, even for people who haven't seen it, or like, or are going to, or still haven't, whatever, but kind of like spoilers, I guess, but is the redemption of Uncle Aaron. Of his uncle. Because in the comics, he's a jackass. He is a dick. And I never really appreciated that. But in the movie, he was amazing. And I think he was also a representation of a type of person that a lot of that are in a lot of families, and especially in minority groups, is the uncle who loves you but has went down the wrong path.
Right.
And I think I very much I like that about that kind of reality and stuff like that. And but that even when towards the end, and he's faced with his uncle again, that his uncle tells him, you're doing the right thing, and keep doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Don't be like me.
Yeah.
Jen, don't cry. I know. I can feel it in her voice.
First time I saw that movie, I cried no less than like 5 times.
Yes.
Like in parts of the movie that I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect that. Like, just like all the other Marvel movies, which this isn't a quote-unquote Marvel movie, but Marvel characters, Marvel storyline, when there was the Stan Lee appearance right so close after his death, oh my gosh, I was bawling in the theater.
I believe everybody was. And they managed to make it like that, his cameo. Like, most of his cameos are pretty funny, but this one was funny, but also like really sweet.
Very sweet, yes.
Especially because when you see the cameo and stuff like that, he was just like, we were friends. And I was just like, yeah, you created him.
Right.
Kind of thing. And I was just so like, or when he's like, when he goes up to him, he's like, I'll miss him. And I was just so like,
oh. Yes.
I was just so like, oh. Yeah, pretty much. And the quote towards the end, I really love that quote that they used for Stan Lee, that anybody can be a superhero so long as they're doing the right thing. And I completely and utterly love that message, because it captures the essence of comic books, and not only that, but of kind of like of what it be like, they're superheroes everyday kind of thing, that you yourself can be a superhero in the everyday and in the mundane, so long as you're doing the right thing. And so I really like that. It was a nice tribute and homage to Stan Lee's work, I think.
Well,
that was very beautifully said, Jen. I mean, I feel like I want to cry a little bit right now, but I'm going to hold back.
And I'm definitely rooting for it. And I started last year the tradition of 1 year trying to watch all the movies that were nominated for Best Picture. I've only seen 3. It's tomorrow, and I'm like, I'm going to go home and at least watch Roma on Netflix. I am super invested this year. So hopefully we see a lot of accolades going towards the comic book.
Well, movies. I loved all the colors that we saw in the audience for the Golden Globes. That was awesome. And then Sandra Oh's speech when she was talking about like Crazy Rich Asians and stuff. That was amazing to me. I cried with her. It was really good. It was awesome.
Well, if you're interested in, and you haven't read Ultimate Spider, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, and you want to learn more about Miles Morales, you can check out a past episode that we did, which was episode 28. Listen to that. We talk all about Miles. We talk about Ultimate Comics. And and if you are not reading any Miles, definitely read Miles. Oh my God, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, my nephew, like, it sparked a lot of interest in him. So probably for next Christmas, I'll get him a bunch of comic books on Miles and stuff. So
yeah, and unless you haven't heard, Bendis is no longer writing Miles Morales.
Oh, wow.
He is now being written by Saladin Ahmed, who was also writing, I believe, it was something, Exiles. Oh, I think he was writing Exiles as well. And he's an amazing writer, and I think he can capture the nuances of Miles a lot more than Bendis can, to put it mildly. Yeah, that's appropriate, I guess.
A little salt. All right, guys, it's time for Chisme de la Semana.
And this is Kristen with your chisme. And she's got the good stuff. I got some real chisme.
like some real shit.
So this super hot guy came into the shop.
Super hot.
It was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday, which was a Friday at the shop. And I, you know, just acknowledged him and said, hey, you know, let me know if I can help you find anything. And he was hanging out in the manga X-Men area. And he finally came up with his purchases. And it was a whole bunch of single issue X-Men books and an X-Force book. And I'm just, you know, ringing them up. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, this dude looks kind of familiar, but like, whatever. I see lots of people all the time come into the shop, and sometimes I'll see them at other places and like, oh, that guy looks familiar, but he's just probably from the shop. Like, who? Mm-hmm. It's just because I see so many different people. Regular. Yeah. So anyway, he goes to pay and he hands me his card, and I just glanced down at the card and I saw his name, and the name on the card was Stephen R. McQueen, and I just said to him, like, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty popular name. Like, it didn't even dawn on me. It didn't dawn on me who he was, but I'm like, I didn't say anything. I didn't ask him. I just was
it
like,
the fashion designer?
I was. No, I don't know. I was like, I bet this dude is related to Stephen McQueen. So anyway, he was so friendly, and he's like, well, so I'm like, oh, I see. There's a theme here, and he kind of just says like, yeah, because they were all X-Men. Uh-huh. But then he's like, I don't really read comics, so do you have any recommendations? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I recommend, if you see over here on our section, we have like a staff picks, and there was like Southern Bastards and Saga, and I'm like, and if you're into X-Men, I totally recommend Legion. That's really, really good. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I'm not really into X-Men, but, and in my mind, I'm like, huh, you're not into X-Men, but you have a whole bunch of X-Men. So anyway, we finish the transaction, he leaves, and there I am with my Google. I'm like, who's this dude? And I actually texted Eddie. I'm like, does Stephen McQueen have a son? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, is his name Stephen? He's like, no, it's Chad. I'm like, oh
my God. Really? Chad. Chad, of all things.
So then that's when I Googled. No and judgment, I'm like, oh, he actually is his grandson.
What?
Yes. And he's on Vampire Diaries. So that's, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, of course. I recognize him immediately. I used to watch Vampire Diaries, but sorry, Steven, I don't watch it anymore. I don't even know if he's still on it. Actually, I think it's just the originals that's on now. But anyway, I digress. So my cheesement is, and it is nothing but cheesement and conjecture, that this dude is either has gotten a role that is somehow X-Men related, or is vying for a role that is X-Men related.
Mm-hmm. So that either means a movie or a TV show along the lines. Maybe an animated show where he does the voicing or whatever, but yeah, he's got the looks.
Yeah, I know. Somebody said, sorry, Jen, he would make a good Scott Summers.
Look, no accounting for taste or whatever. I know, thanks to the efforts of Kevin Wada thoughtifying Cyclops, that he's been getting very popular again online. Uh-huh. So, I guess or so, whatever. I don't see the appeal, but whatever.
Yeah, Jen is not a Cyclops fan at all. But anyway, you heard it here on Comadres y Comics. Chisme de la Semana. You heard it here first. So let's keep our eye out for what he is going to be doing in the near future.
Well, that was some juicy chisme. Thanks, Kristen. All right, girls, what time is it? What time is it, Kristen?
I was thinking all the way over here, like, I always say beer time, but that's, like, so bland. So, today is the inaugural presentation of Hora de la Cervecita.
Yes!
And it's cervecita because we have little tasters. And so, it's not a whole cerveza, it's a little cervecita. but today we are tasting a beer from Firework Brewing Company, and it's a craft beer brewery founded in Berkeley. So this is a very liberal beer. And this brewery has a focus on exceptional, honest beer making. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says on the paper that Sarah gave me.
That's their description.
Fieldwork brews are served not only in Berkeley, but also Monterey, Napa, Sacramento, San Mateo, and San Ramon. And so it looks like it's a very Northern California beer. So this is a beer that we're actually... It's like a cool thing that we have it down here in Los Angeles.
I was going to say, when I am starting to understand what Northern California beer is, and that's like hops and hops and hops. And I don't know if I'm about it.
So the beer, the actual beer we're tasting today, is called...
Loser's Club.
Loser's Club Volume 3.
Volume 3, because yes, there's three. Two previous... volumes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the tasting notes for Losers Club Volume 3 are: making beer is not the most glamorous of processes. It's factory work and it is a grind. Days can be long and times could be trying, but the payoff can be huge in the friendships you forge. It's kind of like podcast making. Our new series of double IPAs named Losers Club is just that. Oh, so it's a double IPA.
I freaking knew it.
An invitation to the fellow losers we've come to befriend to brew a double IPA in their style and showcase what we all do best together. Volume 3 was brewed with our friends from Burgeon Beer Company, a crew that is brewing some of the best beer in San Diego County. Blending our brewing styles, we whipped up this sticky and pillowy double IPA with Southern Passion, Manchuca, and Blanc hops. So I have to say, I've never heard of Southern Passion hops, and so I'm kind of excited,
right?
About tasting something new.
Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. Well, salud.
Well, the smell is definitely a double IPA.
Well, it's very hazy. The coloring is like a... I would say a muted, like... yellowish. It smells very fruity, though. It smells really good.
Well, I just had a sip, and I really like it.
Love this smell. The smell made my mouth water.
This seems like a summertime beer.
It doesn't smell hoppy to me, though, Jen.
It does to me.
It smells very fruity, very, like, tropical fruity.
Yeah, like I said, it really feels summery. It's kind of really crisp.
All right, so let me take my first sip.
Okay, it's not that bad.
Ooh,
When I first took the sip, all I could taste was hops. But the aftertaste is very nice.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like the before taste, the middle taste, and the after.
Yeah, it's really crisp and really smooth. There is no strong notes. It doesn't catch your tongue. It's not tarty, but it's not sweet either. It's sort of like...
I taste all the fruit. It's fruit from beginning to end for
definitely,
me.
Definitely.
And there is no
but there's
hoppy
no sweetness
aftertaste.
And no hoppy.
Sweetness.
Yeah, but it's fruity. I don't know how to say it.
I think people who... Okay, so as a new beer drinker, when people used to tell me that a beer was fruity, I equated that with sweet.
Sweetness, yes.
But that's not the case.
Not at all.
I actually can't do like ciders. I'm not about ciders.
Me neither.
But yes. About ciders. So this is for a beer drinker. You'll know that fruity does not mean sweet. It's just kind of a like the notes of fruit that are hanging out on your palate. It's really good. I like it a lot.
I am really surprised with the name like Losers Club and Double Hop. Double IPA?
Yes.
And these hops how many different hops did they list? Three, right?
They listed three, yes.
So I thought it'd be a bit sour and would catch your tongue, but this is definitely smooth. It's very refreshing. I wouldn't call it juice like the Monkish, but I think it's really good for summer drinking,
and
for sure.
And it is an 8%. ABV, so 8% alcohol by volume. So that is nothing to sneeze at as far as alcohol content. So I would be very careful because this is a beer that you could get tricked by very easily, enjoying it on a hot summer day with your friends. So heed my warning.
Well, most definitely. I'm not sure if this one has a pairing menu with it, but it's definitely something I think I feel I could eat with meat. I mean, I could drink this with like having a steak. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't have strong flavors and strong aftertaste or lingering taste where it would hinder the taste of like, let's say, steak.
And for a double IPA, it's very rare that you don't have that really strong hoppy aftertaste.
Right,
so,
right.
I'm very enamored with this beer.
I am really pleasantly surprised. Really pleasantly surprised.
I was honestly expecting not to like this.
Especially when you were like, oh, it smells.
Yeah. I did not appreciate the smell at first, but it's good. I like it. Yeah. I like the fruity aftertaste. I like how it's, it lingers a little bit. And so, and that I especially appreciate the fact that it doesn't have a hoppy aftertaste.
Because absolutely.
I'm not that much of a fan of hops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are we ready to rate it, guys?
Yes.
I think I'm going to go a full on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's 5 out of 6.
To acquaint
I am Sarah. Unprepared. I am so unprepared, guys.
To reacquaint Sarah with our rating scale, we begin at flaccid, go up to initial, the middle, right in the middle is partial, then full, then the tip is rigid, and then if it is amazing, amazing, it's Super Saiyan.
Yes, definitely. It's between a full and a rigid for me on this one. I want to go rigid, but I think I feel like, I don't know. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to go rigid. I really enjoyed this. I think this is one of those that you could sit with anyone and just have a really wonderful time.
Is it in a can or a bottle?
It's a can.
Okay,
yeah.
Where is it? This is going to make my deal breaker. Nah, it's very boring, so I take it back. I'm just going to go ahead and go with a rigid. I was going to say, rigid Super Saiyan, but no. I'll stick with rigid because it's kind of a boring can. It actually looks like
like an old typewriter kind of old.
I was
going to
say,
old.
It
kind of
looks like a cigar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Artwork and of a cigar canister, not canister, but like a little wrapping to a cigar.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to go with rigid, and so that is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of. It's actually a 5 out of 5. I mean, our Super Saiyan is off the charts.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a 6 out of 5. Is a Super Saiyan. I am gonna go with a full because I really like it, but it's not like. I have found that I actually really do like stouts and porters.
Uh-huh. Interesting to the girl who never used to drink beer at all. Yeah. That's very interesting. Going dark.
And I go immediately for the darkest coffee-like one.
Oh, see, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but I really did enjoy it, actually. And so I'm going to give it a full.
Nice.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, guys, now it's time for our book review. And what are we reviewing today, guys?
We are reviewing We're Still Here, an all trans comics anthology edited by Tara Madison Avery and Jean Thornton with a foreword by Rachel Pollack. And this was published by Stack Deck Press in contributions with Prism Comics.
This anthology was brought onto our radar by Tara when she appeared on our on the panel that we were on at the Hemet Library convention and she mentioned it there that she had been integral in the success of the Kickstarter and getting it out there, and you know, she is a contributor, but there were like
I think they said 53 creators.
I mean, so many people who contributed to this anthology, and every single one of them are trans, and it is super cool that they went on to Kickstarter with the goal of $17,000 to kickstart this project, and they ended up raising $65,203.
Exceeding expectations.
Yes. Oh my god. Yeah. So when she talked about this on the panel, we were like, oh my god, this sounds amazing. So we bought it, and now we are going to review it on our podcast.
Yeah, I really liked the panel where she, you know, we were a part of, and one of the things she had said is, like, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know what, we can't really hire trans people because there are none out there. And she's like, and I just proved that there are. You know, and I was like, damn, you're on point. I love this.
That's a goddamn lie. They they never look.
Right. Yeah. And exactly.
That's the honest to God answer, is that they never look.
Yeah.
Because there is a creator of any color, creed, gender identity, or orientation. It's just that they never look, or they don't want to look.
Yeah.
That, and that's the truth. They don't want to look. Mm-hmm. And they would rather.
Or just because the person isn't within their either immediate social or not only personal but professional circle, then they just assume that there aren't any at all.
Exactly. So when she did this and, you know, she talked on the panel, I was like, my mouth was just like gaping, and I was like, whoa, you're so amazing. So I'm like, we have to review this book. And so we got it, and we read it, and it's amazing. So let's start the review, guys.
Yeah. So there's 50 some, we're not exactly sure the
over 50
contributors, but actual stories inside, were there like 30, or is that an under? I don't remember how many there were, but each story is generally, I would say, one to like the longest one I would say is no more than like 5 pages. Yeah. So they were all fairly short. And but even with the short ones, even the ones that were like 1 to 2 pages, they were so impactful.
My God, I learned so much.
Yeah, that's what, when Jen asked me, oh, what were your initial thoughts before she read it and I passed my copy along to her, I was like, you know, my initial reaction is that I'm very ignorant to the trans, the
absolutely
things that go on with the trans community.
Yes, I agree 100% on that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, even some words, I wrote them down because I wanted to look them up because I'm not familiar with the terms. And, you know, I was really blown away by all the information that I learned and new words that I learned and even new feelings or how to approach certain things and how, because I'm not aware of these things, I'm, you know, ignorant about how to, you know, even talk to some people.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot. Yeah. Some of these things, these stories, it really, some of them broke my heart.
Right. Yeah.
Some of them made me cry. Some of them inspired me. It was just, it was, and this is what you want a comic book to do for you.
Right.
It wants you to feel a myriad of emotions. And this totally did that.
Yeah.
I love this book.
Yeah.
I'm going to start crying soon. Go on without me.
Leave her! Leave her!
Oh my god. What I like most about this book is that the fact that all the stories are different, and I just looked in and it's 53.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's 53 visions of transness.
Got it.
And what it means. There's the fact that they mention more stuff, like besides the transness, they're yes. non-binary, mm-hmm. genderqueer, basically terms that a lot of people aren't familiar with. And that me, myself, even though I'm part of the LGBTQ spectrum, and that I try to keep myself informed of it, I'm still kind of very ignorant about. But I'm always, like, willing to learn about it. And as Kristen and Sarah said, that this is very much a learning experience with this book. And they don't pull punches when they are talking about the stuff that they are talking about. So they're very vivid, and they're very real about
raw.
Their experiences. Yeah. They're very raw and about what they want, and
uncensored.
Uncensored. Yes. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I certainly, yeah.
Everyone likes directness. And that's that in themselves, what I got the most out of that book is that trans people want directness too. They want honesty, mm-hmm. and they want visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Jen was mentioning how, Sarah, somebody was mentioning how, how Tara said on the panel that, you know, people said, oh, I would hire, but, you know, there aren't any. The only person's name that I recognized on there was Tamara Bonvillain.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like she has been the quote unquote poster token trans creator in the comic industry for a while, because I see her name a lot. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that there are so many, and I went through the list and actually identified at least three Latinos, Latinx creators that were there. There was one from, Mia Rose Elbow. She identifies as Latinx, but I'm not sure specifically where she is. Oh, no, Chile. She's from Chile. So, and then Carolina Gerbasi is from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina. I want to say Argentinian. Argentina. And then Alexis Serra identifies as Latinx, but I'm not sure specifically if she's just, if she's American or from an actual Latinx country. But so there's, just like Jen was saying, so many, not just they're very, what's the term I want to say, intersectional intersectionality of creators here in mm-hmm. this book, which I thought was just super amazing.
Yeah, and definitely on the characters, I mean, you have characters that are all shades of brown, all shades of white, and then you have some green and red ones too. So I mean, there's they embrace like the whole rainbow mm-hmm. and all the characters that were presented in these stories. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were just so poetic and beautiful, and some of them were really like harsh and real and painful. I felt all sorts of things, man. I had to put it down at one point because I was feeling so much. So mm-hmm. this is, I think it would be awesome if this could be a book that they would share in high schools to teach kids mm-hmm. at an early mm-hmm. age, when they can grasp these sort of different vocabulary, you know?
It would definitely help with a lot.
Yeah.
I think especially for a lot of, they mentioned it, there was a story that mentioned it too, that it was easier being trans than identifying first as gay and then realize that, wait, no, I'm trans.
Uh-huh.
And than the tragically heterosexual. I think that myself, because I'm in a lot of LGBTQ circles and stuff like that,
yeah.
there's this kind of this kind of pervasive idea that still, especially among a lot of LGBTQ people that don't have interactions with trans people, that once that a trans woman who's still interested in women is straight. No, that's not how it is. She's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is, she's a lesbian. Same thing with a trans man.
Right.
A trans man likes a man. he is gay.
Right.
It's just like, and it's just like, it's these little things that the trans community has a very little voice. And as I said in the book, many times they are fetishized.
Absolutely.
Fetishized. I mean, you can see it. For those, and I know some people do, but there's a reason that it's a thing on Pornhub.
Yep.
I got to be completely honest here. This is Sarah. I take full responsibility for this comment. Some of the stories felt a little erotic to me, but that's because I was like seeing it in my old way of thinking, kind of like my fetish. So in that sense, I completely...
This is a new segment called TMI.
So what I'm saying is that you have to start rethinking things and start learning how to even though like read a lot of stories that were really painful and stuff, some of the stuff felt a little erotic to me just because of my fetish preferences. And so that's something that I identified that was a problem in me while reading this book.
Yeah, and it's just, I think a lot of people don't realize like kind of like their how they see people can be a bit fetishized. Like
personally,
as someone who's bi, and this is the reason I don't do dating apps, is because if I say I'm bi, suddenly everybody wants a threesome, right? And I'm just like, no, that's not what I want. That's not what that means. And it also doesn't mean that I'm promiscuous, or at least super ultra promiscuous.
There's a difference.
So I guess this is the TMI segment.
Yeah, this is the TMI segment. But like, the same thing kind of for trans people a lot is that they are constantly pursued, fetishized, or like, and I don't want to use this, but it is a term that they use, tranny chasers.
Right.
They get a lot of tranny chasers, people who just want to be with them because they are this other to people. And it's just, and like, that, no, that's wrong. And what I really liked about this book is that there was a segment in that said, like, kind of like, examine yourself and examine, like, expand your definition of gender.
Right.
And stuff like that. And it's something that I had to do too as well, when I like came out as bi, and that I really examined, like, kind of like, would you date someone who's trans? And at first, like, and I will admit this about myself, that my initial reaction was no, but then I realized that it was a no because of the church. I had to re-examine myself. And now I can be like, okay, like I recognize these prejudices in myself. And I feel like this book does a lot that is just like, examine yourself and how you see and stuff like that. And so now I have done better with myself, and I've re-examined myself, and I've unlearned that from, like, and I had to unlearn it, one, for myself, and being someone who is queer, but also like kind of to be, you can't exclude these people from the LGBTQ spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Stonewall was started by a black trans woman, and it's wrong to ignore that. And to kind of exclude them, because one of the major issues in the LGBT community is that there's a lot of focus on the L and the G, especially the G, and not the B, the T, the I, the Q, and all the...
And that plus.
And that plus. And that plus as well. And it's and then there's the whole debacle about what the A stands for. The A stands for ace, not for ally. For ally or whatever.
I never heard ally, A standing for ally.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, it's because, you know, thing. We got to insert ourselves everywhere.
but the A stands for ace. And I think ace people are very much a part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
But there's stuff like that. There's like debates about that online and then like in groups and stuff like that about what the A stands for. And it's just like, it stands for ace. It's stood for ace for a very long time. You can't just say it's now ally, because it's not. And you're not an ally, you're cis, and you're not part of the LGBTQ community.
I'm glad you touched on that. Some of the words that I learned were cis phobia.
Oh, yes. So, first of all, cisphobia doesn't exist. second of all, cis is an acronym, and I think a lot of people use cis and probably don't know what it means. But cis,
I'm raising my hand right now.
But cis means comfortable in skin. It means that you are okay with your gender assignment, that mm-hmm. you're okay with how you present yourself and stuff like that. So if you're like, if you are female, then you present as a woman. If you're male, you present as a man. That means you're cis. You're comfortable in your own skin. And cisphobia is supposed to be fear, hatred of people who are cis, or I'm making air quotes right now, normal. Mm-hmm. And like reverse racism, it does not exist.
What is TERF?
TERF is trans exclusionary radical feminism, and it is specifically, and it's again, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't acknowledge, especially in the LGBTQ community. It is a specific type of feminism that excludes trans mm-hmm. women, and mm. that is not okay. And no. if you're a TERF, fuck off. Like that's the real deal, because they
let me just interrupt. I'm mm-hmm. from my understanding, if to paraphrase, it's basically a woman who is saying that trans women don't quote unquote qualify mm-hmm. to in my feminist agenda because they're not quote unquote real women.
Yes, correct. Okay, that is it. Exactly okay. what it is. So it is a specific type of feminism that is held in, that is basically kind of like the more social media feminism, I mm-hmm. guess. Mm-hmm. It's it definitely intersects a lot with what I call white feminism.
You're right.
In that it basically excludes trans women, usually women of color as well. And oh, God forbid if you're a trans woman of color. But it's very toxic, and yeah. it's very much about like kind of, it's very exclusionary, mm-hmm. I guess. And it's toxic, and it gets a lot of attention because of its toxicity mm-hmm. as well. And I think that's like, that's not okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But TERFs are very much a thing, and they're very much a thing online as mm, well.
Okay. Another word that I had to look up was dysphoria.
Yes, dysphoria is a feeling that can be triggered in a lot of trans feeling, in a lot of trans people. That is, well, as a cis person, I have never experienced dysphoria, and I know it's more of a feeling than anything else that you can describe. But the best way I can describe it is that it is an kind of a disconnection that happens between who you yourself are and the body that you're in.
Okay.
And it's basically, it's like having not exactly an out-of-body experience from what I've been told, but something along those lines where you're kind of, you're present, where you are does not connect with what you're feeling, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain, at least for me. Mm-hmm. But it's very common among trans people.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the stories that was in this book really kind of the imagery and the mm-hmm. Dialogue between the characters actually really hones in on the word dysphoria. So. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, this comic book just teaches you so much. There's so many beautiful stories. I mean, there was one instance where a girl was described, she was a summertime goth, cat shirt owning, lace femme, soft butch. And she's like, how do I dress for that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, I feel like that too. But, you know, like, we're multifaceted, all of us. And mm-hmm. so that also says, you know, for this community, it's even more like when there was a story where it presents to you like a cube. And then it went on to make other geometrical figures that actually don't make sense. Have you seen that one with the three rods that actually one of the third rods doesn't go anywhere?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like that, or the infinite stairs. You know, it's amazing. I mean, the way these people can put this into drawings and explain it to us who I don't know anything about it. So I learned so much, and using this platform of comic books taught me a lot more, and taught me that I need to rethink so many things too. So I feel like, man, this is amazing, and I feel this should be in high schools for sure.
Definitely.
I think that this book is amazing for people who love comics, for people who want to enjoy comics. But as a side note, it definitely is an educational tool for people who don't really know anything about the trans community. And I definitely think it could be a tool for people in the trans community to feel connected to each other. And I think one of the things that I saw in the multiple stories is just that feeling of alone and being, you know, not having anywhere to go or support or to turn to. And so on so many levels, I would recommend this book.
I mean, you got everything. There's like hate stuff, hate crimes, and then there's a ghost story, and then there's a futuristic story,
that
and then there's a
story
love
was
story.
So touchy.
It was so cute. Yeah. I was I think it was called Anna.
I don't remember.
It was great.
One of the things that I if I had one little small critique is that there were no titles.
It was
the fact that they were trying to save space, and so you had to either go to the front, or halfway through the book I realized that in really tiny writing on the bottom were the titles.
Right.
And so I didn't realize that until halfway through.
No, but it's true. That way we can name. I just kind of like went by, you know, what the characters in the story were saying. So that's how I named the stories. But that is something that I would have liked to have seen, like, you know, out of the box. Or there's this one where you see there's hardly any dialogue, and he peels off, because he looks like a he, and he peels off his skin, and then comes out, and it's like, I knew it was in here. I was like, oh my god, that's beautiful. It was very powerful, very beautiful.
I think that right there, powerful and beautiful, are amazingly accurate descriptors for this book.
Do you guys want to share any of your favorite stories?
My favorite story was actually the opening one, because it was chock full of comic book references.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
So I really, out of all of them, I thought that was the most fun one.
Yeah.
But also the most also kind of like
sad.
One too. And like kind of real, because it also brought up like kind of a reference is that of the trans media that we do have, a lot of them are kind of this... one also fetishized, but also they present an ideal of how a trans person should look, and that is exactly like the gender that they want that they present as, that they identify as, and that's not true,
right?
Because a lot of the times, as it was brought up, when they take estrogen or testosterone, they don't end up looking how they thought they would.
Yeah.
And that's something that they have to come to terms with.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of pressure kind of in media. And you kind of saw this with Caitlyn Jenner, too, is the need to present as beautiful and perfect and exactly the gender that you now are. And it's just like, just like in reality, and with everybody that come in different sizes, shapes, and races. And that's what I kind of liked about that first story. Also, the fact that She-Hulk was obviously an inspiration for that, and I love She-Hulk.
I
like that. That one was probably my favorite one, or at least the most fun one.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kristen?
I don't remember what the title was, but the story was these two friends sitting on a cliff, and one of them was very upset with the other one because they had dove down into an underwater cave and saw something that changed their life, but they wouldn't share what it was. And so it turns out that when she finally dives into I don't remember actually if it was a she or a he now, that the character that dove into, because there were so many stories, but when the person dove down, they were presented with the story of their friend actually revealing that they knew all along that the person had a crush on them and that they had like a happily ever after. And it was such a sweet story, and it was so cute, and I for some reason it really stuck with me, and how the first person who dove saw this happily ever after but wanted their friend to discover it for themselves.
Aww.
And it was just so cute.
That is cute. Well, I loved a lot of the stories. I loved everyone. They all made me feel different ways. But one of my favorite was Tots with Thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts with Thoughts. Yes.
Thoughts. Yes.
Thoughts with Thoughts. You know, that's a tongue twister. Anyway, I love the imagery of like the grinder kind of rabbit hole. And then at the bottom, there's like a note that these were actual grinder posts.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you something about grinder. And It is exactly like Tinder. Like, that's, except with a little bit more.
I think it's a little more.
yeah, except with, like, it's a little bit more.
Intense.
Yeah, intense. Like, no, what they said was correct in that story, because it is. I've had friends who stopped doing Grindr altogether, mm-hmm. Who just saw, like nah.
You have to be in a certain place in your life to be mm-hmm. on Grindr and to enjoy it, because after a while I think it just becomes sad.
Well, story I greatly appreciated the 12 ways to make a hookups more sexy. Those 12 ways were amazing. They were really eye-opening. Not that I'm trying to hook up, but I learned so much from those. That was amazing. I really love the tenderness. Yeah, I'm learning. Yeah. I really love the tenderness of the third time's a charm. That's when the trans was dating that guy, and it wanted to make sure
the trans woman with Michael.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. So that
I
one,
liked that one a lot. Too.
I like that one. The art alone was amazing as well.
Yeah, the art was really good, but I think that really captures like relationships and stuff mm-hmm, like that as well. In that, they're gonna fuck up sometimes. Sometimes in some major ways, and sometimes sexy times aren't as sexy as you want them to be.
Exactly. So yeah, I love those two. Really stuck out for me, but there's honorable mentions for like the girl made out of stars, and there's just so many to name there, but they're a wonderfully put anthology. So are we ready to rate it, guys?
Yeah.
Right. Well, for me, this is Sarah. It's going to be the whole panaderia for me. It's mm-hmm. amazing. I love it. It taught me so much, and I'm still learning. And it made me discover some things about myself that I'm not excited about, but I'm learning. So yeah. I'm going to say the whole panaderia for sure. Mm-hmm.
So this is Kristen, and I really enjoyed the stories. I enjoyed what this book means or meant to the creators who created it and to the community itself that it exists. And I think that in the Kickstarter, one of the things that Tara says is that she hopes that this is the first of many to come, that now that this particular anthology has come out, that other people will come and make this one obsolete because there's just so many that are out there. Mm-hmm. So I give it 3 conchas and a cup of champurrado, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. I give it 3 conchas and a cup of champurrado as well, because it's a great book. It is a book about trans people, by trans people, and it's also 100% for them as well. And it happens to teach cis people a little bit about their experience, because you can never fully capture it, but this is definitely a good doorway mm-hmm. into that. And I do hope we can see a lot more content like this.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for the next one. Well, that was our rating, guys. All right, guys, this is Juntos y Fuertes, and my name is Sarah. I'm here to bring you Ñañeras, The Border. It is going to be an exclusive release at Latino Comics Expo in Modesto. It is three short stories, and I believe it's just the first issue, and it's going to be an exclusive at Latino Comics Expo. There's three stories called Boys Night Out, Ladies of Sorrows, and Junior. Let me tell you, I already read this and I love it so much. I can't wait to go get it signed. I hope it's going to be awesome. So having said that, you know that Latino Comics Expo is coming around, and it's going to be Friday, March 15th at 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, March 16th at 11 to 6 p.m. It's at Modesto Junior College on the West Campus. It's at the Mary Stuart Rogers Student Learning Center. It's at 2201 Blue Gum Avenue, Modesto, California, 95358. The expo run, it's free admission and free parking, and it's open to the public. So we hope to see you guys there. We're going to be there.
Yes, we're going
to
be there.
We're going to have a little table there. And you can come by and meet us and take pictures with us. But I highly recommend you pick up this exclusive of Ñañeras.
What's Ñañeras?
Ñañeras is sort of like a creepy, creeped out feeling, like when your skin crawls.
I've never heard Ñañeras. That before.
Oh, yeah, totally. I use it all the time. Huh. Like sometimes Frank will tell me something creepy and I'm like, ooh, me dio Ñañeras.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that one either.
We were at Latino Comics Expo last year in Long Beach when it was at the Long Beach, the Museum of Latino
at MOLA,
of Latino art. Mm-hmm. And Latino Comics Expo is the nation's largest gathering of Latina comic book creators and animators. And this year, just like last year, Jaime Hernandez of Love and Rockets will be their special guest. So if you are a huge Love and Rockets fan, you should make your way to Modesto, or if you're in the Modesto area, it is free. And Jaime is so nice, and he's super such nice. A great dude.
He's awesome. Yeah, he's super sweet.
He's super approachable, and he'll be there signing, and he'll have, I'm assuming, original art, and just bring your own books to sign, and he's just so amazing.
Yeah, most definitely. There is actually a definition here in the comic. It says Ñañeras is a noun, discomfort or anxiety caused by an unpleasant situation, preferably one that is frightful, the creeps. So that's what Ñañeras is. It's the creeps.
Okay.
So come on down to Modesto, California for this expo, because also we're going to have Five Meats guys, the ones who brought us Mashbone and Grifty, are going to be there.
Yay!
Yay! I can't wait. Also,
Henry Barajas.
Oh, yes. Henry Barajas and Gonzo is going to be there. So I'm going to bring
Gonzo's going to
be there. Yeah, I'm going to bring my comics for him to sign, because Henry already signed them. Nice. But I'm super excited. There's going to be a lot of great people. Javier Hernandez is going to be there, because he's a co-creator of this Comic-Con. So it's
Rafael
just
Rafael Navarro.
Yes, it's going to be on, guys.
Yeah. It's going to be lit.
Oh, yeah. And the Santa Sucias.
Oh, absolutely.
Are going to be there, which is going to be their farewell.
Yes.
Because they've already produced and published their very last one. And the one that I'm really looking forward to, Five Meats, but I can't wait to see the new Lowriders from Space.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That is absolutely right. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's going to be so lit, guys. So if you can, come on down. And I hope you guys can make it, because it's going to be an amazing, just amazing adventure.
Yes.
Most definitely. We're road tripping up there, so I'm excited.
I know. We're road tripping, so I'm hoping that we make it all in one piece to actually take small little videos to show you throughout the weekend. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm.
So if I fart, guys, just put the window down.
I'm actually going to be taking Jen and Sarah on a tour of my hometown, Hanford, California.
Hanford!
that they've never been to before. It's a small little rural, well, not so much rural as when I was growing up, but it is a rural surrounding areas. It smells like cow shit the moment you step out of your car. You have to drive through fields of corn and peaches and grapes. grapes, and it's just
I want to pick my own fruit. It's gonna be great.
it's definitely not what these two big city girls are used to, so I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely
too. I'm looking forward to it because we actually met somebody who is actually working on a comic book called Hanford.
Yeah,
so I want to see what inspired him to write this book. Yeah. So that is Juntos y Fuertes, guys. Thanks so much. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of our episode. Where can they find us?
As always, you can find us on Instagram at Comadres y Comics.
And on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
We have a Snapchat, and you could also find us on Facebook, or you can email us at comadresycomics@gmail.com. And I'd like to express a special saludos to all the people who attended the Latin the Long Beach Comics Expo, because we met so many wonderful people. So reach out. We reached out. They reached out, and now we're in communication. It's wonderful. So anytime we're at a convention, come on out to see us. If we're going to be there, just come on and say hello. That has been our episode. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.